All right, welcome back. Teach Better Family. We have another week of the Admin Masterminds. And Chad, as you know, we are not doing themes month to month. We are strictly going to our admin and asking, hey, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your school, your district, and how can we support and collaborate with you? And so that's exactly what happened. We reached out via Voxer and Facebook group to ask our leaders, hey, what do you want to talk about this week? And we had one leader specifically, and they brought this problem to us. And I think it really resonated with a lot of folks because we had a lot of feedback both on Voxer and Facebook about wanting to discuss this further. And so the topic is a leader had a staff member report a small mistake all the way up the chain of command. And they wanted to know, how do we address this with the staff member or with the culture of the district? Because they felt like there was, you know, something that occurred that was undermining to the leadership. And so, yeah, to start off the conversation, Chad, I kind of want to go with like maybe the conversation that we had about root causes of like, why are people either triggered or, you know, going through this experience of going to the higher ups to potentially undermine leaders?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of root causes here, and a lot of it comes down to like trust and willing to communicate, right? So if you haven't built as a leader clear communication channels, maybe they don't feel like talking to you does anything, or maybe they don't feel like talking directly to you. Now, there's another more negative side to that coin, though. There's the other side of like, they're just being disrespectful, right? They're just like, they're not respecting you enough as a person or as a leader to come directly to you. And they're literally undermining that chain of communication, that chain of command, or whatever you want to call it. And they're going above and beyond. So in terms of root causes, it comes down to a couple things, right? Like, have you built a culture where people feel comfortable coming up to you in addressing these issues? Have you built a culture where people feel heard and think that their feedback is actually implemented? And have you built a culture of clear communication? Sometimes as leaders, we feel like we have solved the problem, we've dealt with the problem, and the case is over. Yet sometimes staff or our team doesn't feel the same way, and they go, well, wait a second, I haven't understood how that problem was solved or what's being done to prevent it in the future. And I haven't heard anything from my leader, so I'm going to go above the chain. So I think there's multiple possible root causes here. And I think for each leader, you kind of have to address them on your own and kind of look in the mirror and go, which one do I think is the cause here? But there are also some ways to kind of prevent these things, right?
Oh, for sure. And I want to talk about that because you had touched on communication breakdowns. And I think, you know, as we were talking and learning about what was happening specifically in this district, that's kind of what was kind of the root cause of a lot of what was going on. So, you know, as a leader, you know, what are we doing to communicate so that way there's no misunderstandings or potential source for the undermining?
Yeah, I mean, I think clear communication for any event, situation, circumstance is always going to be your best bet. If you make it part of the routine, you don't have to worry about it being an extra thing. So yeah. I'm not going to communicate only when things go wrong. That's also going to create a negative perception of the only time I ever talk to that leader is when something's going wrong. I'm going to make it a general thing. So when I hold an event or we have something that happens at our school, I'm going to debrief my leadership team, my administration on, hey, just wanted to debrief everyone. We had a great day. We had this issue happen. Here is how we solved it and we moved on. If that's part of your normal communication strategy, everyone's informed so that you don't have to worry about them hearing a narrative that you don't want from somebody else. So how that lack of chain of communication is perceived will depend on the information the person has when they receive it, right? If they already have the information that this thing went wrong or something happened from the leader themselves or from the horse's mouth, they are going to go, yep, already understand that. And they're going to either question why they're being told that from someone else or why that person didn't talk to the leader, or they're going to go, I don't need this information. And they're going to mentally move to the next thing on their agenda. So like either way, you're protected that way. So yep. I think something we even do internally on the Teach Better team, whenever we finish working with a school or a client, we always debrief the rest of the team on how things went. that debrief happens whether things go amazing. Well, they always go pretty awesome. But or if there was like a small issue, or maybe the administrator brought up a concern or next steps that they want us to take. Now everyone fully understands, so that if I get a call from a school that you worked with, Josh, right? Yep. Now I'm involved and I go, you know what? I already talked to Josh about this and we're ready to just talk next steps. So even inside of a school, just creating systems and routines, or even internally for yourself and your building, when we do something, we are going to share it out and we are going to be transparent and we are going to debrief the necessary parties. And I think that's just a good practice, especially when you're dealing with things like staff training, staff PD, district Yep. initiatives, because if you have a curriculum director or a superintendent who wants training to happen in each of the buildings, sending a quick debrief after that training is done, not done, went great, went horrible, regardless, is going to go, cool, I know that building A did that training and here's how it went. It's documented and we're good to go. At mm-hmm. least you're keeping those conversations in controlling that narrative from your perspective. So to me, I honestly think that's one of the first things that you can do, is just be clearly communicative of how you're going to deal, how you dealt with the situation, or that something happened at all, right? Like, just right. make it part of that routine. The second part is that when something goes wrong, is letting your team know that you are aware that something went wrong, right? Like yep. sometimes as leaders, we try to shoulder the burden of everybody all the time, and it gets exhausting because we get so used to going, I don't want to bother anybody. I just want to take, I want to be the bulletproof shield, forgive my metaphor, for my entire staff, that shields them from all of the negative things that are happening around so they don't have to deal with it. But sometimes staff don't realize all of the things you're shielding them from. They don't realize you're even holding the umbrella because they're just splashing around in the puddles they're dealing with on a daily basis, right? So from that perspective, you going after that incident happens or after something negative happens, hey, team, I know today didn't go great. Here's how we should have done things differently. Here's what I could have done differently. Here's what I will do differently in the future. What ideas or constructive work can we do in the future to prevent this from happening again? Please let me know if you have any other thoughts or concerns. So A, you're identifying that you're aware of the problem. B, you're identifying the solution to the problem that you or your team came up with. And C, you're open to additional ideas, constructive criticisms, and or solutions that you can implement in the future. That's going to create the first thing we talked about, which is clear communication, right? But it's also getting ahead of the idea that now your whole team, staff, organization knows that you know, right? Like, get out in front of it and control that narrative, because then they can't go, you know, that didn't go great, if they've already gotten 14 emails or messages about, you know, whatever the thing was. Like,
yeah,
everyone's fully aware. So owning it first if something went wrong is always the best cause of action as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, and with that communication, you're going to be building trust with
100%,
you know, your leadership.
We have to be vulnerable, right?
Yep.
Like, that's also just like admitting our own faults. It's also being vulnerable and being human, which is going to create a more positive connection, just like with kids, right? Like, I think, remember, one of the earliest things I learned as a teacher in a classroom is like, when you make mistakes, own them, admit them, make a joke about yourself, and move on. It makes you more human to your students. And it makes it, but it's the same thing with adults, right?
Sure. All right, so let's talk about the feedback mechanical system that you've got, right? Because, you know, we kind of need to have this feedback loop to allow staff the opportunity to express concerns or, you know, feelings that they have about whatever's going on within the campus and the district. So, you know, how do we create that feedback loop so that we can address problems that we may not even understand or know exist?
So I think there's two things you can do. The first thing we've already talked about, which is sending that debrief or staff email that's just like, hey, if you have suggestions, let me know. Like, yep. That's one way to collect feedback. There's also to create systems like an exit slip for any event, or when you have an event like that, like creating a Google Sheet or a Google form. Like, we want teachers to be so data driven, yet sometimes we forget to be data driven as leaders.
Yep.
So even creating things like climate surveys and things like that, that are completely anonymous, where you can just look at it and go, hey, I noticed a lot of you guys didn't have a great day on the PD day. Let's talk about that, because a lot of you were saying X, Y, and Z. I know as a PD provider, we do that all the time, where we're always providing an exit slip and going, here are the things they loved. Here are the things we can tinker with or adjust, or they're going to need more work time next time because they felt like they needed more this time, or whatever the thing is. That's going to allow them, if you make that a regular part of your feedback. But here's the actual important part, right? You have to actually use the data you collect and explicitly talk about it with your team. Because yep. If you're constantly collecting data but never talking about it or using it or explicitly showing how it's going into action, people will stop caring about submitting the data in the first place. It's the same thing with, like, are you writing targets on your board? Well, no, because I never actually talk about learning targets in my classroom. Like, that's actually instructional deficit about purposeful learning outcomes, not the practice of writing stuff on your board. Like, it's the same thing with data. You can collect all the data in the world, but if you never explicitly use it to adjust how you're approaching things, it's yep. useless. It's a waste of time. So staff need to feel you using their feedback. They need to feel yep. like if 80% of staff said X, Y, Z, that should probably be at the top of your list to either verbally address it in writing, or make some actionable changes to remedy that thing the best that you can.
Yeah, one of the admin had put in the comment about a quote from Adam Grant saying that you'll get better information if you ask for advice, not for feedback. And I thought that was so spot on, because, you know, when we talked about the root causes, one of those major pieces was inclusion. A lot of times teachers and staff don't feel included in part of the process or about
ask for help,
culture. Yeah. So, yeah. So if you're asking for advice or asking for their input and then doing, like you're saying, doing something about it based on the fact that you've gotten that feedback and that information, I think that's going to probably break down the undermining of a lot of staff members.
And that's something I've been really bad at in the past as a leader myself, is like asking for help, because I feel like I have to do everything all the time. And I've tried to focus on that, and your team gets better when you work together. Funny enough how that works, right? So like, by asking for people's help, you are not being a bother to them. You are actually making them participants in the process and in the solution, which they will further buy into because they are a part of that solution. And so yeah. Something I've learned is that, like, that's going to increase the value they feel in the process, which will make them feel more valued as a team member themselves, which means they will buy into the process, buy into the solution, and just be a better member of the team that you're trying to lead.
Yeah. Well, I love the topic. I love the fact that, you know, we were able to come together as a group and collaborate on this. The person that had brought this to the table felt extremely valued and really yeah. said how much they appreciated us spending a full 45 minutes just on what's going on in their world. And that's what this group is all about. We're here for each other. And I found so much power in that. And I'm so excited about what's to come. If you have a topic, if you weren't able to come this week, you know, jump on Facebook. So Facebook.com groups, Teach Better Admin Mastermind is the link there, and you can go and join. About, I think we're up to like over 100 people. I think we're like 120 people in this group. A lot of phenomenal administrators that are there to support, provide resources. And what were you going to say, Chad?
I was just going to say, even though it's a large group, it's a small session feel, right? Yeah. So I think that's one of the powerful parts about this, is like, even though it is a lot of support, you get the benefit of all of those voices, but the help of the individual problem being solved, right? Like, so like, it's totally okay if you've never been a part of this to be like, I'm really struggling right now. I need help. It's a place where you can be vulnerable and just, you'll not only get like four or five other people that'll be like, yes, I'm dealing with that same thing, but you'll also get people that go, I solved that thing and here's how I did it. Maybe that could help you. And so it's this kind of magical thing where large scale support, small group feel. And I think that's like a perfect space for what the group is trying to do.
Oh, for sure. And there's been so many times that folks have shared afterwards things that they've implemented that they pulled from this group. And we don't have to do it alone. Like you said, Chad, sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm going to take care of everything by myself. And that's going to lead to a lot of negative things. And so, you know, if you can come to the table and collaborate and beg, borrow, and steal from other leaders, then that's what we're all about. So every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, of course, we do this recap because we also know that admin life is extremely busy and you can't always be there. But we definitely want you to sign up at teachbetter.com/mastermind. It's free. And of course, you get the wonderful group to help out every single week. And then, Chad, I have to just mention that we are about to be amongst the holiday season. And so we are going to take a small break. And so we won't be together December 26th. So I just want to mention that on the recap for those who may not have seen the email or weren't a part of the group this morning due to the busyness.
We are taking Boxing Day off.
I don't know if that's the official day, but we are going to take that day off just because we know a lot of people are traveling.
Christmas. It's Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. Oh my goodness. So, I guess someone learned something today, including myself, that I did not know that was Boxing Day. But we want you to relax, rejuvenate, get some time with your family and your friends. And with that, Chad, thank you so much for joining this morning. And I wanted to say to you and to everyone else, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.